your plan, oh God, that we know that you have everlasting life plan for us, oh God. Father, we know not the things that you have for us, oh God, but we exalt your presence, oh God. Father, we thank you, oh God, for starting us on our way, and we give great honor to you, oh God. Father, we now ask, oh Father, that you bless those that are not here among us today, oh God. Father, we ask that you go before them, oh God, and make their crooked path straight, God. Father, we ask, oh God, that everything that they put their hands to do, oh God, that it will be blessed, oh God. Father, we ask, oh God, that everything we are doing in this service be received by you, oh God. Father, if there's some informants, oh God, if there's some immaturity in this service, oh God, we ask, oh God, that you endow us with your wisdom, God. Father, we thank you, oh God, for allowing us to be a part of your amazing kingdom. Now, oh God, we ask, oh Father, that you continue to use the vessel, oh God, to break the bread of life as it is instructed by the Holy Spirit. This in all things we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. I hear you, Brother Brendan. Amen. The word of God reads, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and he did good. Amen. And he gave us rain from the heavens and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these same sacrifice restrained that they, the people, that they had not done sacrifices unto them. Amen. Hallelujah. And they came there near in certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Amen. Howbeit, our disciples stood around him, he rose up and came unto the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Amen. This is the reading of the word. You may be seated in the presence of God. That subject added to this scripture, we're calling it a comeback. Amen. Amen. Anybody remember that great song? They call it a comeback. Amen. What was happening back in these days? Amen. Paul was searching, him and Barnabas. Amen. They was doing this tag team. It's back to that old scripture where we say one will plant, one will water, but it's God to give the increase. Amen. They wanted these two apostles to be battling with one another. However, they joined forces. Oftentimes, we have great leaders in this land that don't want to join forces with you. Amen. Because we often look at things as our self-presidents. A lot of times, people don't want to team up with you. Either we got the big head. Come on, saints. Or they got the big head. Amen. But that's not what was happening with these two apostles. They were teaming up. They were out in the land, and they were making great strides. But what was happening is when they came across the city of Antioch, amen, somebody say Antioch. Amen. I just want to make sure that you're with me today. They realized that the people were not all listening to them. They had great Jews in this here title, amen, in this chapter. They had Jews and they had Gentiles. But see, the Jews were considered the king priests in the town. So as the king priest will begin to explain to the Gentiles will begin to follow the king priest. Amen. Amen. So what was happening now that Barnabas and Paul has walked upon this great city? When they walk into this great city, they begin to persuade some people about the living God. Say, living God. Amen. So they begin to talk to one another and tell them about this living God. And all of a sudden, the people's eyes begin to open and their hearts were ready to receive what the apostles were feeding them. Amen. Anybody hungry today? Amen. Say, I'm hungry today. Amen. I need to get the word of God. Amen. So what was happening is the Gentiles and some of the Jews were hungry. Amen. And the men of God were there to give the word of God to be able to feed them what God had for them to eat on. Amen. But then we had some envious Jewish priests that was around. And they said, well, wait a minute, buddy. They don't have the gold temples, the ivory walls. They don't have the gold metal plates on their chest. They don't walk around with a beautiful garment as we do. How dare they I need you to understand who Paul was. Paul was this great man that was even ready to kill those that called themselves Christians. Before God and the Lord himself, Jesus Christ, showed himself on the road of Damascus, he said, Lord, is that you? Even then, Christ asked him, are you here to kill me? Why are you after me? He became a blind man until even God sent the prophet of God to lay his hand on the man of God and change his whole perspective. When God comes into your life and he begins to unleash some things in your life and change your whole perspective, you ought to get up like Paul did and go and run it. Amen? I heard the prophet this morning say that there's a work to be done. You got that right, baby. There's a work to be done, and there's a kingdom. The Bible tells me that kingdom fight is dictated by the Lord, and we got to fight. We got to be bold when we come before the things of God. Some of us so passive when we get so locked into our own righteousness, they just don't praise and worship good enough for me, so I ain't got to be bothered. Or the church ain't right, so I ain't going. Stay away. This ain't your place. And if you got to be on top, stay away. Paul didn't mind. Barnabas didn't mind. They didn't mind being the layman at this time. There was a time in their life where they had to be on top. But at this time, they humbled themselves and did the work of the Lord. But oh my God, people are starting to take notice. People are listening to the men of God. And so now the others that have been running the city for so long got a little upset about this. So we need to catch up our game. Anybody ever been in the presence of somebody when you telling your story, they want to tell their story, and their story got to be greater than your story? They got to hype up their story. They got to hype up their game. You can't just tell your story and it just be about you. But they got another story just as grand as your story, so let me tell what happened to me too. Or it seems like every time something happened to you, you know that same thing happened to me. So what was happening is that these two men of God, they were telling the Jews and the Gentiles, and they were winning over the people for God. So much so that when the Jews got together, they decided they were going to come after these two men. So what did these two men do? What did Christ tell you that when you go out two by two and you go into the house and you give your blessing, if they don't receive it, what are you supposed to do? Knock the dust off and keep it moving. Now, in my words, I like to say keep rocks. Deuces. Amen? I'm talking in my language, in my era, amen? Back then, they spoke in theirs. This is our language to get you to understand. My mind is keep rocks. See ya. Amen? So these two men left. But when they left, they went into another city. Let's just paraphrase this for a moment, because I need you to get this. They was in Miami throwing down. But some of the bishops and the apostles got together and decided that these two evangelists, these two apostles, had no business here. So they decided to pick up their bags and go to Hollywood, and they left from Hollywood after they spoke to them, and then they went over to Fort Lauderdale. So now they in Fort Lauderdale and they throwing down. So not only did they throw down, they went and got some heavyweight. So now they coming back. That's what we said. We're going to call this a comeback. Amen? So then when they came back to the city in which they came from, the people at this time decided that they were going to kill one of the apostles. They decided that they were going to stone Paul. See, because Paul, even out of the two, even though we knew that they were equal as the apostles, but we knew that Paul had some weight on him. Anybody got weight on you? Anybody got some weight on you? Amen? Paul had some weight on him, and that's not discrediting Barnabas, amen? But Paul was on the other side. See, let me explain something to you. When you have been living on the other side, and you come onto that side, my God, the same power you possess on that side is the same power you possess on that side, and just now you got a whole kingdom behind you. So Paul was something. nothing to be reckoned with. Amen? So they needed to take this man out. They stoned him. They stoned him to the point that the Bible tells me that they stoned him here in verse 19. It says, and there came here to certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people. Didn't say they did it personally. He said they persuaded them. See, if we ain't got all of this up here, we are easily persuaded. This is why so many of us say, be careful of the teaching that you receive. Because all teaching is not righteous and holy teaching. I used to go to battle with my son often. Because oftentimes others could tell him something and it was law. But the one that fed him and raised him could tell him something and it had no weight to it. So we have to, as parents, prove ourselves to our children. But others in the street, they were easily persuaded. How did that happen? Where did we fall short where our mindset for those that treasure us, those that love us, those that honor us, those that respect us, we can't even give true homage to what they're saying, but somebody else that can be easily, the Bible says they were persuaded. So that tells me that you are a double-minded man, because the Bible tells me that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He didn't say some of them. He said all his ways. So here it is. Now the people were already going with Paul and Barnabas, but when the Jews came in to tell them they ain't living right, they ain't right, now they were easily persuaded, and they stoned the man of God. But watch this. Look how the blood works. Say the blood works. They stoned the man of God to the point that they thought the man of God was dead. But the scripture says, but when the disciples covered him, somebody missed that. When the disciples, the righteous came running, when they all over, everybody seen the football team and they get in the middle, and you got that most valuable player standing in the middle, and you got everybody circling around him, and they're holding hands, and they're swaying back and forth, and they chanting this praise, amen. They know that they're getting ready to go into battle, and they know they're getting ready to go into war, but only the church, the most valuable player stood up. I can almost hear him say, I'm still in the game. I'm still got it. Scripture said, when all you can do is stand, just stand. But see, watch how wise they were. Now that they thought that they had already took out the key main player, the most valuable player at this point. They were real, they was laid back, I'm done now, my work is finished. Y'all done got to a point where I'm done now, my work is finished. I'm talking to the elders of the church, saints. I ain't talking to the layman. Yeah, I do what you do, but I'm talking to the elders. You done got to the point where my job is finished. I'll get there when I get there. I'll get there if I come. I'll show up when I want to show up. I'll stay home if I want to stay home. My job is done. I've arrived. The devil is a liar. Let me help you out, saints. Your job ain't done until God calls you home. There's an everlasting work. This is why I say, if you don't want to be here, don't be here. Yes, one apple spoils the whole bunch. That means when you bring in those wicked spirits with you, those spirits of contentment, those spirits of resisting, those spirits of hate, those spirits of downcasting, you cast in all those spirits to everybody else. But what was happening here is Paul had wisdom. They thought that killed me, so let them keep on thinking. Let them go on with their daily lives. Just get me to a point of refuge and let me rest. Scripture says that the next day after he had taken his rest, they left. Oh, my God. But as they were leaving, scripture also tells me they traveled 700 to 500 miles. Amen. 700 miles on land and 500 miles on sea. But now watch this. When you leave somewhere, you ought to be leaving with a purpose and with an army. What do you mean by that, preacher? When you get up and go somewhere, you ought to have an army that's backing up what you're talking about. I don't believe that Christ went anywhere and he didn't have his army to back up what he was talking about. Let me just push forward just a little bit. Let me back up. The first time when the Jews and the Gentiles ran Paul and Barnabas out of the city, when they left that city, they came across a lame man. What do you mean a lame man? A crippled man, a man that couldn't walk, he couldn't get up, he couldn't stand on his own feet with his own weight. Somebody say, I can't stand by myself. Amen? It was a crooked man that was laying there, man, bent all kinds of sorts of ways. But this man knew the power of God, and he heard the gospel of God, and he believed in the middle of God. But even Paul looked at him, and he said, look, son, can you just touch me? Paul told him, just stand up. Before he could get out the gate, those same Jews and Gentiles were praising him and working the two of them like God. Sometimes men and women of God can do something miraculous with the help of the Holy Spirit. You forget who gave them this power, and you begin to worship the man and not the Spirit of God. Come on, somebody. You've never been there sometimes. When the man of God or the men and women of God begin to preach and they begin to ignite something on the inside of you, you believe that I can just touch the man or woman of God, not to say if I can just get in the spirit realm of God. We forget to give God the glory. So here it is, Paul and Barnabas were faithful to Christ. Wait a minute, they said, let me take all this stuff off. Let me strip down, because I don't need you to see none of this thing that attracts you. I don't need you to see none of this stuff that is material. I need you to see what God is doing. Amen? Paul said, this is not by our might. This is by the strength of the Lord. Don't worship me. I'm not no God. I'm just as human as you. Now, what does that mean? They can respect the man and woman of God, but don't worship. Don't worship no flesh. No flesh is deserving of worship. It's respect. And the Bible says, give honor where honor is due. So you can honor them, you can respect them, you can obey them, but you don't worship them. Now, these same ones that was praising and worshiping when the high priest saw this, that this is when they came to the conclusion, we got to get these old buffoons out of pocket here. They taking too much credit. That's when they stoned him. That's when they tried to kill the man of God. And when they thought they were succeeded, that's when they arrested. But now all this power that Paul and Barnabas had exhibited in front of the people of God, they could not just rest upon that. When they got their rest after being stoned, they left. Again, I say they traveled over 700 miles on sea, on land, and about 500 miles on water. But while they were doing this, they were working. They were soliciting other believers. They didn't let that small disrespect of the act against God stop them from the work of God. Some of you walk around with your heart on your sleeve. You so easily offended. Can't nobody tell you nothing. When they talk to you, when they try to correct you about something, you always got something to say. Right there to say, shut your mouth. Shut up. I've always come to the conclusion when a person is too busy talking, they ain't listening. Hallelujah. We so easily offended that I ain't doing nothing else. I'ma just stay home. I don't care. I'm the righteous one anyway. Bye, Felicia. Amen. Deuces. When you get so big that can't nobody tell you nothing, you go about your business because you got this. The Jews and the priests, they were already big enough. They got this. They had this. Paul and Barnabas couldn't tell them nothing because they had this. Paul said, we got to make a compact. They sat down and they talked about this thing. They strategized this thing. They already believed that we did. They already believed that they done ran us out of town. But I'm still in the game. I had a broken knee, like what was his name, Dwayne Wade. He had a pull, sprain, or something was going on, but he was still in the game. Let me tell you how valuable you are. Even though you're not on the court, you are a part of the team. Tell your name, I'm a part of the team. And let me tell you how valuable you are to be a part of the team. Because when your most valuable player is down and out, somebody got to play tag and jump on it. Barnabas was encouraging his brothers. He said, I can go on without you, but I don't want to leave without you. You ever seen the football and the basketball players when somebody get hurt, they run out, they begin to hold, they begin to lift them up and help them up? So what does that mean? That means that the most valuable player cannot play this game by themselves. All right, IPC, I'm talking to you. You talk a good talk and you walk a good walk, but where's your words? My Bible tells me that I'll know them by the fruit that they bear. What are you bearing? Heard the prophet talk about Bible study. Yet I don't even see all the ministers, all the deacons, and all the prophets in the house when it's Bible study time. Where's your fruit? Where's your work? This is what was happening in this age. Paul and Barnabas, they teamed up and they were working. They was out there getting it in. They didn't have time to just be lackadaisical and worry about the wounds that they just received. My back hurt. I'm in so much pain. My head hurt. I'm in so much pain. I got a headache. I can't make it. My foot swollen. I can't do it. My knees cramping. I can't get it. My eyes rolling in the back of my head. I can't see. Papa said a few weeks ago, your sickness is because of your disobedience. Uh-oh. Did she just say that out loud? You need to get this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Because this is not about you. Tell your neighbor, this is not about me. Amen. See, we don't go off of this belief that we have. We don't practice what we preach. I can say this for myself because I have to be the living example for you. I practice what I preach. I call you. I want to see how you're doing. I want to tell you I love you today. Whether you call me back or not, that's your business. But I'm going to practice what I preach. I go and I visit the sick and the shut-in. I call those that I haven't seen in a while. I minister to the people of God when they need help from the woman of God. Amen. I have, amen, those things that are of God that are ministering to my heart. Don't you know that the more you do the work of God, you encourage the spirit man of God in you. Come on, saints. Now, I don't want that because I don't want nobody at my house. None of this belongs to you. You can't even sit on these chairs. Why? Because they belong to the spirit of God. It's everything we have. Belongs to God. Amen. So here it is. Barnabas was encouraging his brother. Not that Paul was losing in his faith. Not that he didn't want to go back. Because Paul was a gangster. Paul was one of the high priests in Roman times. He was one of the captains. He was the one that led the troops. Not only that, but he was one of the number one theologians in the bunch. He was the man of all men. He was the one that they looked up to. If Paul couldn't do it, nobody couldn't do it. So it wasn't like Paul was losing out in his faith or anything. Paul said, let's be wise, my brother. We're going to have this comeback. But when we come back, I came to encourage you that even though your situation looks dark and gloomy in certain areas, you don't have your comeback. All you got to do is step back, resolve yourself, recoup your mind, and get in the game. Anybody ever, you ever been on a basketball team, football team, racetrack, swim team, volleyball team, whatever? Have you ever been on a team? And the coach had to come in there and talk to you for a little while when it looked like all else was failing and you was going down. He said, you know what? It ain't the fact that you failed. You fail when you don't play the game. But because of your failures while you're playing the game, you don't have to play to win. You just have to play to enjoy yourself. What you saying, preacher? It ain't that you're going to be able to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, save everybody, but you've got to be in the game in order to be in there to be counted for. I heard the prophet say, we got to be accounted. You better believe it. And he wasn't just talking about the parable, so I'm going to just help him out. All y'all got to be accounted for. When you say you are part of the team and you ain't got no work going on because you ain't got no tax, God have mercy. That's the way you go tonight. You got, I'm going to church. You just go to church yesterday? Yeah. That's too much church for me. Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Let me take this a step further. Even for those that promise that they would now join pastor and they will be with pastor, they will go out with pastor, and you haven't kept your word, you would have been better off being silent. Man, you ain't encouraging me. You lying to me. No, but this happened and that happened. The devil is a liar. Because I say what I mean and I mean what I say. Amen. Listen, even if to say I wanted to spend time with my brother and sister last night, and I had a headache out of this world. My pressure was just moving on up the ladder. Yeah. But I say, you know what? The devil is alive. I'm not going to let him hold me back. I'm not going to let him cripple me. I'm just going to go head on, take me an aspirin, swallow me some water, put on my pump and my suit, and I'm out here. The devil can kick rocks. He can be sick by himself. But I'm going to go out there and be sick because I'm going to have me some fun while I'm sick. Anybody ever just actually move through your situation, regardless of what it feels like? Come on, saints. Regardless of what's happening, Paul was that saint. Regardless of how he was feeling, he was still moving through his situation. He was not going to stop the work of God. Almost he skid marks outside the church where y'all put on brakes. Uh-oh, is she talking to me? Yep. Gotta go to work. It's 2 o'clock. I ain't picking at you, Ridge. I ain't picking at the crib. I got things to do. Listen, if we don't allow ourselves to be known to the world of who we are, it doesn't matter. You know what? Somebody might say, you know what? I know he's a man or woman of God. I know he's at church, or sometimes church may run over. So it's okay. You know, we get that. See, there's favor in his work. There's favor. It's times where I walk in with just regular clothes on, but until they find out there was a prefix before my name, I was nobody. But when they realized that I was a part of the kingdom, not so much apostle, not so much pastor, but sister and or brother, there's favor. There's extended grace. There's extended mercy to you. Stop allowing your circumstances and your situations to keep you from doing the will of God. You ought to always be in the game. You ought to always have a comeback. I was laying in my bed and I was reading the scriptures, amen? I even tried to post my sermon. I couldn't even get it in. Uncle said, what you doing? You plagiarism? I said, no. But in that very moment, God gave me that subject. They call it a comeback. I couldn't even keep still. I was just giggling. I was like, Lord, because I was asking, what would be a subject that would get their attention so they can understand what is going on in the Word of God? Paul and Barnabas made a comeback. And when they made a comeback, they were able to get all the arrows. They received everything that God had. And then they had a campfire and sat around and talked about everything that God did. Come on, somebody. God has freed you from your own prison. So you ought to be sitting down with some other saints and tell you, oh, let me tell you about what God did. Come on. We're so afraid to tell other saints how blessed we are. Amen. Scripture in 27 says, chapter 14, verse 27. And when they will come and have gathered the church, say the church, I am the church. Or now, gather the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the doors of faith unto the Gentiles. See, this ain't what I'm talking about. This is what the Word says. We're talking about one of the greatest comebacks, one of us. Not the greatest comeback, one of us. There is miracle after miracle in the Word of God. Amen? Further down it says, and confirming the, and going back into chapters 21. This is after they went to Derby. It said, and when they had preached the gospel to the city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconia and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that they must, amen, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So you think because you say you ain't going to go through nothing, or you believe that what you're going through, God puts you through that, that's a lie. This is my thorn, and I'm just going to have to suffer this because God said long-suffering. That's not what he intended as far as long-suffering. So get your mind up your own understanding because this is not about what you think the Word says. The Word says what it says. He don't need your help. He also said it, don't you add nothing to it and don't you take nothing away from it. Hallelujah. And the scripture in 23 says, and when they had ordained them elders in every church, say every church, and had prayed and fasting, say prayer and fasting, amen, they committed them to the Lord unto whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came unto Pamphylia. My God. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to watch this. And when they preached the word in Hollywood, they went over to Fort Lauderdale. And when they left Fort Lauderdale, they went up to Deerfield. Come on, somebody. So when they had did this, and they went down to Atlanta, Atalaya, and then sailed to Antioch. Remember I said they walked for 700 miles. And then they thought they were sailing for 500 miles. So now they're on the boat going back. I'm coming back. Because not only do I have the disciples that I left here with, but I got some elders. I got some missionaries. I got some deacons. I got some laymen. I got the Gentiles that have been converted. I have the Jews that have been converted. Not for your own belief. Oh, now, let me help you out. Even then, that Jezebel spirit was still moving through the land. It was still, some of them still serving the God of Baal. They were still serving a God that they knew had no power. But just like God had told Elijah, you go back the same way you came. My God. I need to go back when this woman has already declared that she was going to kill me. This is what Jezebel had already put it in the atmosphere to do for Elijah. I'm going to kill you. As long as I got breath in my body, on tomorrow, by this time, you're going to be dead. This is how the Jews and the Gentiles were talking to Paul and Barnabas. I need you to get it. Say, there's nothing new under the sun. So what was happening back then in the old was happening right now with the new. And it's even happening right here in the present. So watch it. After you declared yourself ministers and elders and deacons of the church, when you begin to talk, speak, Holy Spirit, when you begin to talk and utter ill words against the man and woman of God, you are becoming not a saint of God, but a hellion against God. You becoming a warlock, that's the man. You becoming a witch, that's the woman. All while you believe in you serving the righteous God. You've been a switch teams and don't even know me. Because your righteousness has already prevailed you to be holy. Am I right about the same? Come on. Because of my righteousness and because of who I am, that's where we failed. When we put flesh before the spirit. Paul and them made a comeback. And I need you, saints, that even in your downtime, even though people have offended you, they have walked away from you, they have hurt you, they have wounded you in such a way, ain't nothing like church hurt. I'm almost disappointed almost every day with the very saints that I'm ministering to right now today. Why? Because not all the time do I get the treatment that I give you. Then when I start acting a monkey, all hell break loose. That's when they want to examine me and tell me she ain't acting like a woman of God. Pastors don't do that. Bible told me that I am to do unto others as they to do unto me. Huh? So if I start giving you this treatment back, if Paul was to shut his mouth and not do, if he was to cut him off like they cut him off, what would have happened to that generation? Huh? If pastors just cut you off, what's going to happen to you? I just go to another church. This is why I always make the open declaration. Bye. Because I can't convince you to hear me if your mind is already against me. Paul couldn't get these Gentiles nor the Jews to hear them if their mind was already against them. So he left. Because they thought they killed him. Now, don't you know when your guard is down, that's the worst time for something to happen to you? They put their guard down because they thought this was over. They thought that things were going to go back into the way that they were. That's not how God operates. Just when you think it's over, they call it a comeback. But the sad thing in it, saints, is that when God actually shows us who we are, we don't change. We don't change. We stay content. God made me the way I am. That's a lie. The Bible says that you were born into the iniquity and you were shaped. Born and shaped. Is that iniquity and transgression? You were born into it. He didn't make you like that. This is not his great intent. His great intent is for you to be righteous. It's for you to be saved. It's for you to live this eternal glory in the presence of God. This is his great intent for your life. I need you, saints, to make a comeback. I need you to move beyond your situation. I need you to not be wounded and stay wounded. I need you to go ahead and wrap your knee up. I need you to go ahead and press your finger and get yourself the word for God. Is anybody with me today? It's time to make a comeback. Are you ready to make a comeback today? Regardless of your relationship, regardless of your heart, regardless of your past, are you ready to make a comeback today? Yeah, God. God is a great God. God is a great God. Nothing can esteem itself against this God that we serve. Amen? Amen. So do I have any Pauls in the place today? Are there any Barnabas in the place today? Are you preaching and teaching the gospel of God? Are you encouraging the saints that no matter what others do to you, you still have the breath of life dwelling on the inside of you? Are you having a balanced life? Listen, the Bible says that you're so holy till you're no earthly good. Are you having a balanced life? Are you enjoying life that God gives you? Huh? So I don't need folks looking at me and looking down their nose at me and saying, I wouldn't do that if I was you. That's your business, and this is between me and God. Let me just get some correction in the atmosphere because I feel this, the contentment. Let me just help you out. The Bible says that we are not to be no earth, no holy, holy, so holy that we're no earthly good. All you do is walk around and talk about it, 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 talk about it. They're going to close their ears to you. Now, I ain't saying you're supposed to pop one, smoke one, and just throw them back. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying, saints. But what I'm saying is you can live a good, even life in the presence of them. Something and such and so holy that it will convert them. I want to be like them. I want to live like them. I want to be happy. I want to have a relationship. I want a wife to hold on to. I want a husband to hold on to. I want my children to have parents in the house. I want my life to be whole. I want my ministry that God has blessed me with in my belly to flow. But listen, I need you to get this. Stop talking about the preaching and stop you from doing things when it's you, in fact, that stops yourself. Pastors got a lot of weight on them because the church put the weight. But scripture right here says it was the apostles that ordained elders to maintain the church. I ain't doing that because God ain't tell me. And I know I'm sick of following people because God ain't tell me. God ain't talking to you no how because your mind is already closed up with your disobedient self. I don't think I'm talking to nobody here. I don't think I'm talking to these saints because y'all doing everything that God has told you to do, including your pastor. So I ain't talking to nobody in here. Right? Right? I'm not talking to anybody in this house. Katie, now, if there's something in the back of your mind called the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to bring the Holy Spirit forth and let the Holy Spirit correct you. If you feel something in you, it's called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is sent to us to comfort us, to correct us, to rebuke us. If you feel something down on the inside, but his word is bright and is tight. I love the Lord. I'm about like Peter. I'm straight gangster with this thing. I love it. I pull out my sword any day. You want to battle, we can battle, but we're not going to argue about the word of God. Bible says that he is not the author of confusion. Even though Peter cut off his ear, he took it and put it back on the man. Say, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. I'll be ready to war with you, but I'm going to do it on my hands and knees. And when I get up, when I get off my knees, scripture tells me that the righteous man availeth. What is the avail? So when I get off my knees and I finish talking to my daddy, I don't know, is it y'all daddy? I'm talking about my daddy. Because I got to make this personal. Are you making it personal today? Are you really making what God is doing in your life personal? Because see, when he's my daddy, anybody have a daddy? And you had to run home to him. You had to tell him what somebody doing to you. And daddy coming to the rescue. That's how my daddy is. So whatever I'm enduring, whatever I'm going through, I'm talking to my daddy. He always answers me. Songwriter says he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. Always on time. You can't beat God blessing. You can't beat God giving. You can't beat God delivering. You can't beat God doing anything. Nothing is too hard for God. Amen? All standing on your feet. talking about a comeback. Deacon, may I have some worship? Mom, I need you to come forward, please. Father, we thank you, O God, for allowing us to be in this place, God. We thank you for breaking the bread of life, Father. Now, O God, we ask that the Holy Spirit activate in the men and women of God. As we embark upon your altar, O God, let your wonder-working power fall down. Let your consuming fire burn up this altar. All pain, all frustration, all hurt, all discouragement, O God, all tribulation, all long suffering, Lord God, let it all be consumed by the Holy Ghost. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.